Hello, welcome to the Sapiens Insurance 360 podcast. I'm your host, Dean Richardson, Sales Director here at Sapiens, and I'm so glad you're out there listening. This is where we discuss the latest news, trends, and issues from across the insurance industry and wider technology spectrum. Have you ever wondered how recent catastrophic events such as floods or fires have affected the trust consumers have in insurance? I think we can all agree that trust is the cornerstone of insurance. Insurers have one main job or role in society. If an insured suffers a loss, damaged car, flooded house, stolen belongings, they expect you, the insurer, to pay out, returning them to the position that they were in prior to suffering the loss. This is what customers pay for, along with peace of mind. And they trust that you, the insurer, will pay out when they file legitimate claims. Some call this relationship honest insurance. But what happens when insurers face a surge in claims and fraudsters start taking advantage of industry challenges to prey upon insurers and policyholders alike? To discuss this important and very timely subject, staying ahead of insurance fraud in times of crisis, with us today is Christian van Leeuwen, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder of Fris. Fris is one of the leading InsurTech SaaS vendors and the industry's first provider of the Trust Automation platform that helps P&C insurers support their trustworthy customers, but also prevent and detect fraud. As the Chief Strategy Officer, Christian's responsible for driving growth and innovation through the insurance industry, using the first AI-powered trust automation platform. And with over 25 years' experience in the insurance market, Christian has developed a deep understanding of the challenges and opportunities insurers are facing in digitalization and preventing fraud. Christian, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Dean. I'm really happy to be here.
Great. So let's start, shall we? So the immediate question, how can insurers proactively detect and stop fraud whilst maintaining a smooth claims process?
Yeah, just let me start by explaining, of course, that more than 90-95% of the customers for insurance are genuine customers. You want to instantly trust those customers when they file a claim. And if we look at how can insurers then proactively detect and prevent stop fraud during the claims processing, it's all about automation. So making sure that in real time, at every event during that claims process, that claim gets evaluated, screened, any anomalies or outliers are detected, and that they raise an alert for the claims adjuster or the special investigation investigators to review. One other thing is that it's really important that these real-time events are tied into the core system, so integrated into Sapiens, in the EDIT suite, for instance. Therefore, it is fed back into the event that the user can make the decision at the point in time where it's needed. And the other thing that's really vital in maintaining a smooth claims processing is also that it's end-to-end supported. That means that whenever a claim gets through to special investigation, it is investigated and they are able to prove it, that it's fed back into the system and that that bad actor or that provider or the whatever person or object was involved, that also gets flagged when another claim enters the process, that immediately proactively stops new fraud or another exposure for fraud happening, and even throughout the underwriting side of it. So that is the end-to-end setup where, in talking about proactively detecting and stopping, that is really vital to do.
Thanks for that, Christian. And great to hear 95% of customers are genuine. But can you explain how fraudsters are taking advantage of insurers who are under an ever-increasing pressure to process claims quickly?
Yeah. And of course, processing claims quickly is also what customers expect, right? So that pressure is full on. And they, even when there is a catastrophe or like a flood or a fire, claims loads will spike, and even more pressure is on the claim handlers to process it quickly. And whenever that happens, we typically see a surge of two types of fraud in there. So on the one hand side, it's opportunistic fraud, and on the other side is organized crime. So if you look at opportunistic fraud, it's more or less the insured that tries to use the event to, they may really have a claim, right? Or they stage a claim that they also have a claim. But usually they have a claim and they want to get more money from the insurer. So they make up a lot of maybe valuable objects, expensive objects that are also got lost, stolen, or damaged by the event. And therefore that is sort of, they blow it up. And on the organized crime, they typically pick up such an event as a trigger to start going door by door and trying to get an insurer to also have them file the claims on their behalf. And they try to really use the events to get more money and to work together on these fraud cases. And the insurers, they typically need to respond fast in these CAT events. So they might lower their thresholds just to be able to process all the claims. And that's where we can help the insurers to either by lowering the threshold to having it not block their process, but really at the same time, keep on checking all of the actors and the providers and all of the fraud scenarios that might occur, still having them having a really close look into those in making sure that none of these frauds actually do happen. So that is a bit of the time sensitive in helping them process quickly, but at the same time, using automation and being able to show that nothing of these frauds actually do happen.
Oh, that's really interesting, Christian. So to pivot slightly, can you provide some real-world examples of post-disaster fraud cases and what the impact is on an insurer's bottom line?
Yeah, these post-disaster fraud cases, often the big ones, they are the organized crime. Organized crime where the providers, they work together and they go to the insured, and they often also work together with the insured to stage these claims together. And in these organized fraud rings, for example, there has been a couple of years back, there was this Operation Rubicon that's also public knowledge. So you can find it on the internet as well. I believe it's about $1 million fraud ring. So where surrounding a claim adjuster firm that's working together with a lot of insured, and they just involve them in the scheme and they file the claim, get money, and not paying for fixing a claim or damage because that is not there, but they just use that money to get it off the insurance company, and the insured then gets a renovation done and the provider can do the work, and they also stick money in their own pockets, of course. And these fraud rings, they can go to up to, I've seen fraud rings of 16 million in one single fraud ring, and there might be even still be bigger ones, right? So these are really hitting the bottom line of insurers. Of course, the opportunistic fraud, if you add these up, right, this also talk about millions of dollars and euros that are impacting the bottom line. And these two together, yeah, it's really makes sense to block these. But ultimately, you can lower your premiums for the genuine customers, right? That is all what the reasoning is behind this in making sure that you don't accept fraud.
Absolutely. So it's a huge industry problem. So Christian, so here's a key question for all of our listeners. So why and how can insurers be proactive rather than reactive in the fraud strategies?
Yeah, I think very good question. And I think I want to break it down in two pieces, like the why, as you said. So why does it make sense to be proactive? Ultimately, the money is gone, right? So if you file a claim and you have a STP process with nowadays with an instant payment, it's not uncommon in insurance. So the money is gone and you have to try to get the money back. Or if you detect it and you need to get your money back, you need to investigate that claim. A lot of effort is needed to investigate that. So it's always better to try to prevent this than later trying to detect it and investigate. You have to prove it. You have to go to court. And the example of the fraud ring that I just mentioned, I believe that took years to settle in court, right? So these are really cumbersome processes, it takes a lot of effort. And I think even there, the insurers are more like moving into where the banks also occur. So they really want to be proactive, block whenever there's exposure to prevent more leakage of the money. In terms of how, well, how can it be proactive? It ties a bit back on what we said in the beginning, right? It's all about thinking about this in real time, making sure that you are at the event, in the EDIT suite, at the first note of loss, check what with the data that you have available, what and external data, bring that in the mix, process it through our models, and making sure that you find this relationship in our network in real time, and then block it at that point in time, making sure that's end-to-end connected so that you can also use that at underwriting to prevent these bad actors from coming into your book of business. And there we see insurers more moving to an intelligence center where also intelligence with police and other industry fraud bureaus or the national fraud bureaus are shared. And you also want to load these into your environment to be able to check if you have exposures with these bad actors or maybe fake shell companies that are going around in setting up fake policies and filing claims under those. So these are the things that we see happening where insurers are becoming more proactive and need to be more proactive because these things happen across all the channels, the broker channel, the online channels, across all lines of business. So fraudsters do not distinguish between those things. They just simply after the money.
Yeah, but Christian, great to hear that you're stopping or identifying and stopping fraud, not only at the point of claim, but at the point of underwriting as well. So, you know, as you say, stopping those bad actors coming through the front door as well. Okay, so Christian, just to wrap things up, I know there's a lot going on with deep fakes at the moment, and especially with the recent new ChatGPT version. So what's your advice to insurers on how to deal with this threat?
Yes, absolutely. The thing explodes right now, right? So the ChatGPT, since the launch, get a lot of requests on, am I dealing with the deepfake? How do I know? And what's happening here? So to start off, I think we need to distinguish between two things. We have what we call shallow fakes and we have deepfakes. And a shallow fake is more or less an image or a picture of your living room where people have planted expensive objects in there to also make sure that they can file that under the insurance. So it's an existing damage in an existing living room and therefore they add these things to it. And the full deepfake is, for instance, a fake invoice that's completely fake, it's never been issued by a company. And the first thing to do actually is to start checking these deepfakes. There's software, we even have that as part of the Swiss platform, to check for deepfakes and to get this protection set up in your process. Because you don't know currently as an insurer how big this problem is for you. So you really need to start there. And from that, the deepfake checks also start getting the data from the invoices and making sure that you double check what's in there. So a full 360 check needs to be done on that. So that provider on there, is that a real provider? Is it actually located at that address? Those are vital things to start doing. The second is to really control your own communication. So that's my advice to most insurers here as well. Because deepfakes are there. It's so rapidly changing that, and we are keeping up, right, with that. But we don't know what in like 6 months is possible with this technology. A lot can be possible. So the second is to control your own communication, to make sure that you control how customers are sending in documents, how customers are sending in images. You want to verify that it's your customer that sends in these images. So is possible there as well. And I would just simply advise those two things for insurers to start looking into and setting up these basic checks. If I know it's a full podcast in its own and I don't know we're at time. So I do want to advise everybody, if you want to know more, reach out to Sapiens or to Frizz. And we can help you set this up.
Christian, thank you so much for your thoughts today and appearing on the show. I've learned something new, the difference between shallow fake and deep fake. So thank you for that. You know, unfortunately, natural disasters and fraud are inevitable in today's world. But savvy insurers with advanced insurtech can stay one step ahead of the bad guys or the bad actors, as you say. To our listeners, as always, we love hearing from you. So if you have any comments or would like to follow us on social media, please do reach out to us across the various channels. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. We've got so much more coming. So stay tuned for our next edition of Sapiens Insurance 360 podcast. And goodbye for now.